From APM in Los Angeles, I'm Molly Wood in for Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. Ford just jumped into the autonomous car market with both feet. The company announced yesterday in Silicon Valley that it will make a fully autonomous car by 2021. That's just 5 years from now. The vehicle will be designed for ride sharing, and it will have no steering wheel or pedals. Our producer, Catherine Gerardo, was at the event. CEO Mark Field said the fleet approach lets people call an autonomous vehicle whenever they need it.
I mean, think about one of the most emotional times in life is when you have to take the keys away from a grandfather or a mom or a dad. That's taking away their freedom. If we can give them back that freedom, their lives, they're no more a prisoner to their house.
Let's talk a little more about this with Jessica Caldwell, chief analyst with the auto site Edmunds.com. Hi, Jessica. Thanks for joining me.
Hi. Thank you for having me on the show.
First, a little context. How significant, in your mind, was Ford's announcement?
Well, it's fairly significant because right now the real race in the auto industry is who can come out with this autonomous vehicle. And there are so many outside players. And so I think people wanted a concrete statement from a car company that they were working on this. So it's pretty big news, I would say.
And how would the car work from your understanding? Would it go along just pre-approved routes?
I mean, I think the plan is for it to be in a ride-sharing service. So whether that's a predefined area, like in a large city, so you can kind of put parameters on where the autonomous vehicle will go, which will make things easier rather than letting it just be limitless.
What infrastructure do you think would have to be in place for that to work?
There are so many things that have to happen. I mean, it's going to have to, you know, obviously be able to talk to other cars, know the route that it's going, figure out how to, change routes when things close. I mean, there's so many unexpected things on the road to really be viable on public roads with other drivers that are not computers.
And let's talk about this approach that Ford is taking, saying that these will be fleet vehicles that are part of some sort of a ride sharing service. It feels like that has been a really distinct evolution in the conversation about autonomous cars, where it's gone from the idea of a private vehicle to the idea of a fleet of self-driving cars.
Yeah, I think that has been really interesting because it has been kind of a social change that's happened in a really short period of time, as a lot of these ride sharing services have taken off and become a bigger part of people's daily lives. So I think the idea of autonomous vehicle ownership is not necessarily for a person, but of a part of a larger community. It's probably going to start in this area and see how ride sharing services work and if people can live maybe, you know, without a car and go from there, really.
Yeah. Well, in 2021, it's not that far away. We're already starting to see a little bit of Tesla autopilot backlash. Do you think we as a society are going to be ready by then?
It does seem like a really short period of time. But I think people fundamentally want this. You know, time is the ultimate commodity and luxury right now. And people, I think, want that. But there still is a long ways of go for acceptance. And then also the laws and the, the governing bodies for autonomous cars and whose fault are accidents. You know, 5 years isn't a long time horizon, but there's a lot of resources put on this. So it seems like it's something that can be doable.
Jessica Caldwell is with Edmunds.com. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
Now, that probably won't be the only autonomous car news this week. The Intel Developers Forum is happening in San Francisco, and we expect an update on that company's plans to power self-driving cars. And on Tuesday, Intel announced a new virtual reality headset that combines virtual reality with augmented reality, that is, items or actions from the real world. The headset doesn't require a phone or a computer to power it, and Intel won't sell a device directly. Instead, it wants to license the technology and basically become the chip maker for the next generation of virtual reality. But it better hurry, because Intel's biggest rival in the chip-making world, AMD, is also reportedly working on a headset that works roughly the same way. Google has released its new video calling app called Duo. It's a lot like Apple's FaceTime video calling app, except that you can use it on either iOS or on Android. So you could video chat from your iPhone to an Android phone just by entering someone's phone number. So I needed someone to test it out with me. Lindsay Turrentine is editor-in-chief of CNET.com. I am calling her right now. We're going to do some of this as a video chat. Oh, there she is. Hello, Lindsay.
Hello, Molly.
You look good. You look good on Duo.
Oh, thanks. You look great, too. A little grainy, but mostly great.
All right, now we're gonna hang up and do some real radio.
Okay.
Where is Duo supposed to sit in between Google Hangouts and FaceTime and Skype?
Google Duo is kind of like a FaceTime competitor. It's dead simple. It works, unlike FaceTime, between iOS and Android, so that's nice. Mm-hmm. All it does is video calling. FaceTime will do voice calling. FaceTime will work on your desktop. All Duo does is video calling on your phone. But it's worth pointing out that Facebook Messenger does the same thing and has for quite some time, and you no longer need a Facebook account to use Facebook Messenger. You can mm-hmm. also just use a phone number. So that already exists from another major developer.
What's Google doing? I think we've asked this question before, but are they trying to differentiate products more for consumers and businesses?
I think that they're trying to create a bunch of different products to solve very specific needs, and then they're just going to see what sticks. I mean, this is the most googly thing in the world, right? To just throw a bunch of stuff at the wall and be like, well, we're going to see what works and we're going to find out a bunch of stuff. You know, maybe Duo will stick. Maybe Allo will stick. Maybe we'll end up having 4 different Google communication platforms forever. I don't think Google knows, and I think that's part of how it operates.
Lindsay Turrentine, editor-in-chief of CNET.com. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Molly.
Now, during a longer test call, Lindsay and I encountered lots of freezing and bad image quality with Duo. We then chatted via FaceTime and had a much smoother experience. For a side-by-side GIF comparison of the two calls, head over to our website, marketplace.org. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.